Well, good evening, one and all, and welcome to our midweek church service on this Wednesday evening of May the 7th, 2014. Welcome to those that are listening on the phone and to the recording afterwards, and praise the Lord that you've chosen to come in fellowship with us on this Wednesday evening, and I pray that the Lord will bless you and bless our meeting here with His presence and with a great understanding of His precious word of truth. So welcome, dear ones. Our opening song for tonight's service is entitled, Give Me the Bible. And the lyrics can be found at lightministries.com/ID962.htm. So the hymn is entitled, Give Me the Bible. Give me the Bible, star of gladness gleaming, to cheer the wanderer, lone and tempest-tossed. No storm can hide that peaceful radiance beaming, since Jesus came to seek and save the lost. Give me the Bible, holy message shining, thy light shall guide me in the narrow way. Precept and promise, law and love combining, till night shall vanish in eternal day. Give me the Bible when my heart is broken, when sin and grief have filled my soul with fear. Give me the precious words by Jesus spoken. Hold up, faith lamp, to show my Savior near. Give me the Bible, holy message shining, thy light shall guide me in the narrow way. Precept and promise, law and love combining, till night shall vanish in eternal day. Give me the Bible, all my steps enlighten. Teach me the danger of these realms below. That lamp of safety o'er the gloom shall brighten. That light alone the path of peace can show. Give me the Bible, holy message shining, thy light shall guide me in the narrow way. Precept and promise, law and love combining, till night shall vanish in eternal day. Even so, come soon, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I ask you to please kneel and bow your heads for opening prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for thy merciful kindness, the hearing and answering of our prayers, for giving us the scriptures that are indeed a comfort when we're under trial and temptation and stress. Thank you so much for the words of life that indeed comfort our hearts, that point our direction upwards away from the earth unto the lovely and loving face of our Savior. And thank you so much for sending him for us. Father, we choose to meet here in thy name. We choose to dig into thy word of inspiration. And please dwell with us, take control of this meeting, and indeed pour thy spirit out in rich abundance upon each one of us. Dear Savior, we ask that thy presence be here as well. Please dispel all darkness with the bright beams of thy righteousness. Eliminate sin and help us to allow you to rule in our hearts and reign supreme in our lives. And dear Spirit, please don't forsake us, but please come to us in rich abundance and help us to comprehend and understand the truth as it is in Jesus. Please eliminate from our hearts all darkness, all error, all superstition, all fanaticism, and just let the light of truth remain in our hearts. Thank you so much that this earth is indeed being filled with the glory from above, with the knowledge of salvation, and soon the whole earth will be ablaze with the present truth. We thank you, Father, for allowing us to know a little bit of this truth. Give us strength and grace and courage to remain faithful, also to share our faith, and thus be able to understand greater truths and in turn do the same. So we thank you, Father, for being here in our midst. Thank you for hearing and answering this prayer. And thank you for thy divine protection and love for each one of us. In Jesus' precious name, amen. So welcome again, dear ones, on this wonderful Wednesday evening, the midweek. And I pray that God has indeed blessed you in this first part of the week and that he will continue to bless you in the remaining part of the week. We're continuing in our study chapter, which is 2 Peter chapter 1. And this chapter is also known as Peter's Ladder because Peter defines 8 different virtues that are to make up the Christian life that each and every Christian will obtain as they continue advancing up the straight and narrow path to heaven. And last time we went down through all of these 8 virtues, starting with faith and then adding knowledge or adding virtue to faith and knowledge to virtue and then temperance and patience and godliness and brotherly kindness and finally charity or agape love, love that is manifested in action, in deed and not just in word. And verse 8 starts out, "For if these things or these 8 virtues be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." So that's where we ended last time. And then verse 9. "But he that lacketh these things is blind." So if our faith isn't strong, and we're not that virtuous, and thus we don't have the correct knowledge that we need, and we're not temperate or patient, and thus we're not godly, and we don't manifest brotherly or sisterly kindness, and thus we can't manifest true love, then what does that make us? It makes us blind, spiritually blind. And a blind person can't see where they're going. So he that lacketh these virtues is blind. They can't see the way clear to go to heaven. And thus they're not on the straight and narrow path. They're on the broad road leading to destruction. And yet, they don't realize it. Now, another condition that I've described here, if we lack these virtues and are blind, is also known as Laodicea. The condition of the church of the Laodiceans there in Revelation chapter 3. They're miserable, poor, blind, and naked, and yet they don't realize it. They think they don't have need of anything. They're completely self-sufficient, proud, boisterous, just the opposite of these virtues. So let's read verse 9 again, the first part, and put Laodicea in it. But he or she that is Laodicean is blind, continuing, and cannot see afar off. In other words, they can't see heaven, the land that we're going to. So they're blind, they can't see afar off, continuing, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. So what does that mean? If we're blind and we don't see that we're not on the path going to heaven, but we think we are, what does it mean that we've forgotten that we've been purged from our old sins? To be purged means to be completely rid of those sins. So if we've forgotten that we've been rid of our old sins, then that means we're continuing to live in these old sins. We've gone back to them, or perhaps never gave them up. And the condition of Laodicea is one of sin and repent, sin and repent. They just can't seem to become fully purged of their old sins, but they continue to go back to them. But what Christ wants to do to each one of us is he wants to purge us from these sins. He wants to eliminate these sins from us so that we don't continue to go back to them as old friends. But we recognize that these past friends have been crucified, mortified, dead and buried, and thus we don't go back to visit them. So the Laodicean is blind. They don't see that the path that they're on doesn't lead to heaven, but goes down to destruction. And they continue to live in their sins. Are they sorry for the sins? For the ones they see? For the ones they recognize? They repent of them. But the repentance is short-lived, because true repentance means not just repenting of the sin and asking forgiveness, but it also includes forsaking the sin. He that confesseth and forsaketh his sins shall have mercy. But he that confesseth and goeth back to the sin shall not have mercy. Christ's mission on the earth was to save his people from their sins, not in their sins. So, dear ones, if you're living a life of sin and repent, you diligently need to spend more time in God's Word, pleading for the grace and the strength to cast away the old man experience and to obtain a new spirit, a right spirit, one that only God can give you, that will indeed lead and guide you into all truth and away from all error, lead you in the way of righteousness and away from all sin, lead you to get ready for the judgment and to have your sins go beforehand to forgiveness instead of following you after the judgment has taken place, and thus you're lost. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit. His job is to lead and guide us into all truth and to convict us of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. So if we don't have the right amount of these eight virtues in our lives, then we're still connected with blindness. We still can't see clearly, and we're still having problem with our old sins. Sins of our past experience before we were converted, before we accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior. So he that lacketh these virtues is blind, cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Continuing, verse 10. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. This is another promise. So if we obtain these eight virtues in our lives, if we are diligent to make our calling and election sure. We've been called to salvation. We find that in Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ, we become a son and daughter of God. Our election to grace, to divine unmerited favor. If we do these things, if we have all of these eight graces, virtues in our lives, what does the rest of verse 10 say? Ye shall never fall. So what is the key to overcoming all sin and no longer giving into it? Peter's ladder. Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, to patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. If ye do these things, ye shall never fall. So if you fall back into sin, what does it mean? You still have growing to do. But if you're able to live without sinning through the grace and strength given you from God, then what does this mean? That you have become perfect. Ye shall never fall. And what's going to happen when 144,000 individuals finally are able to live without sinning, without falling into sin, because they have all of these eight virtues in their lives? Christ will come to take his bride home. She has made herself ready, and that's all he's waiting for. So as soon as Christ sees his image perfectly reflected in his people, then he throws down the censer He declares, he that is righteous still, and he which is filthy still. And then he steps out from being mediator between mankind and God the Father. Probation closes, the plagues begin to fall, Christ then comes to get his people. So if you do these eight things, if you climb all the way to the top of Peter's ladder, you will become perfect. And what's the next step from this ladder? You know, if you, any ladder has a top step. The top step of Peter's ladder is charity or agape love. Love manifested in actions from a sincere heart. When you step off of that last step, you step off the ladder, you go into heaven itself. So if you do these things, ye shall never fall. You will become perfect. Christ will then come to take you and all the rest of his ransomed home into heaven. So, dear ones, what's the way to salvation? Climbing Peter's ladder, hand in hand with the Lord every step of the way. So give diligence, dear ones, to make your calling and election sure. For if you will do these things, you will never fall. That's a promise. God will back that promise up with all the divine grace and strength that's needed to fulfill it in your life. Verse 11. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So how much grace and strength is going to be given you to accomplish this perfection? It will be ministered unto you abundantly so that you can become sinless in life, perfect in character, so that you may step off the ladder into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So what's the way to heaven and eternal life? What's the pathway? Peter's ladder. How do we get there? Climbing it, step by step. Growing in grace, the process of sanctification. Here's the outline for salvation, dear ones. 2 Peter chapter 1. How are we able to go and make it to the everlasting kingdom of heaven? The outline is right here. So if you know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. And if you do them, and these things abound in you, then you won't be barren. You'll be able to reveal the Lord Jesus Christ and bear much fruit to his glory. So if you know these things, if you realize these things, happy are ye if ye do them. Any thoughts or comments, dear ones, before we continue? Now, is this message that's listed here in 2 Peter chapter 1, was this just for the days of the disciples or the early Christian church? Partly, but not just for their days. Was it for the days of the reformers, the Reformation? Partly, but not just for them. Was it just for the Adventists? Partly, but not just for them. It's especially for those of us living in these last days. How do we know this? Verse 12. Peter says, "Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth." What does present truth mean? It means truth for today, truth for the present time. So what we're reading here in 2 Peter chapter 1 is present truth. And what are we to do with this present truth? We're not just to know it. We're to follow it. So then what are each one of us to be doing in these last days with this present truth? We're to be following it. You must begin with faith. If you don't believe God exists, you're not even on the straight and narrow path. You must believe that He lives. You must believe that this Bible is His word directly to you as an individual, His love letter, if you will. And once you have faith, even though it's the smallest amount of faith, even just like the tiny seed of a mustard plant, then you can grow. You can add to your faith virtue and add to virtue knowledge. It's not just going to magically come to you. You have to add it to you. By study, by seeking for knowledge as for hidden treasure, and to knowledge temperance, which means you're practicing the knowledge that you've learned. And if you're temperate, then you are more easily patient, less irritable. And when you're more easily patient, then you can become godly in life. And once you become godly in life, then it's so much more easier to be kind to your brothers and sisters, literally and also spiritually. And once you learn how to show brotherly and sisterly kindness one to another, even to those that rile you or seek to make you angry or do things that irritate you, once you can still be kind to them, then the next step to add is charity, agape love. And once you do these things habitually, over and over and over again until they become habits of righteousness, then you will bear much fruit to the glory of God, and you will come to the point of being able to live these things and resisting temptation and not giving in to sin and thus not fall. You can become perfect in Christ Jesus. All things are possible to him or her that believeth. That's where faith comes in. In our own strength, it's impossible. But through the strength of God, divine strength, it is possible. Because all things are possible through God. So this is the present truth, what we're going over. It's truth for today. It is possible to become perfect. But not to the Laodicean. The Laodicean lacks these virtues and thus doesn't see what path he's on. He continues to live in sin. So, dear ones, go to work. Keep looking up. Keep adding on to your character these virtues. Keep climbing each step on Peter's ladder. Go all the way to the top, as far as you can go, and make these things habitual in your life, and you will never fall. It's a promise. If ye do these things, ye shall never fall. That's God's promise, and he backs it up with his divinity. So don't let anyone tell you that no one can become perfect, because God states it right here that you can. Who are you going to believe? To our eyesight, it's impossible. When you look away from yourself and focus on to God, then through faith, you know it is possible. So the Christians in Peter's day knew these things. He was just bringing these things to their remembrance again. During the Reformation, they had forgotten these things. But then God brought it back to their understanding, their remembrance. The early Adventists had forgotten these things. God brought it back to their remembrance. And then they forgot it again. Because now the church is teaching that no one can become perfect. And if you try to become perfect, you've actually crucified Christ afresh. I mean, that type of belief goes completely contrary to the scriptures that we're reading tonight. But that's what the Adventist Church of today believes, right in harmony with the rest of Christendom. No one can become perfect. Only Christ is perfect. And if you try to become perfect, then you're actually casting him down from his throne and seeking to take his place. I mean, that type of reasoning is so unbiblical. It is just the opposite. Christ says we're to overcome as he overcame. And we know that Christ was perfect. He overcame all sin. So if we follow Revelation 3 and overcome exactly as Christ overcame, then we will become perfect just as he is perfect. We will have all of these 8 virtues as Christ had, and having them and living in them, we will never fall, just as Christ never fell. So don't believe anyone that tells you you can't become perfect, because that's not biblical. That is a deception from the wicked one. Christ came to save us from our sins, not in our sins. So this is present truth, dear ones, that we can overcome all sin and become perfect and not fall. So God is again bringing these truths back to the remembrance of his people. Don't be Laodicean. Don't go back to being blind, but continue forward and know that you have been purged from your past sins, that you no longer have to live in them or give in to them. Put them in the past, because all things in Christ have become new, and continue advancing, climbing step by step. And you will indeed, through God's grace and divine power, never fall. Are there any thoughts or comments, dear ones? Any questions? Any testimonies or songs? Please feel free to bring them forth. Well, dear ones, let us go ahead and open it up for a season of prayer. And anyone that would like to pray, please feel free to start off, and I'll go ahead and close up. Now let us bow our heads and our knees. Our dear precious Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for being a God that's close at hand and not far off. We thank you for the privilege it is to be able to pray directly to thee, and that our Savior takes our prayers and purifies them, and the Spirit adds the correct words to our prayers so that our prayer is completely perfect and understandable. And thank you, Father, for hearing and answering our prayers according to thy perfect will. Father, we pray for each one here. We pray for those that weren't able to make it. We pray for all of our dear brothers and sisters around the world. Father, continue to lead and guide us upward. Continue to increase our faith. And give us extra courage and earnestness to continue climbing step by step. Continue advancing and adding on these virtues to our character. For we don't want to be blind. We don't want to be misled. We don't want to continue in sin. But we want to come to the point of being able to live above sin, to be more and more like our Savior, to indeed continue growing in grace. So, Father, help us. Be especially with those that are struggling. Give them an increased outpouring of thy Spirit, of divine grace and strength and courage to take up their cross in advance. For we don't want to have a single one of us lost. We don't want to have a single person that we know that has chosen this faith to not make it to heaven. And Father, we want to be in heaven. We don't want to be lost either. So please help each one of us to grow a little more like our Savior as each day passes, so that we may truly understand that we're advancing, that we're becoming more like our Savior and less like the wicked one. Help us to truly climb each step of the ladder that's listed here so that we can get to the very top and thus can come into the condition of never falling again into sin. Help us to truly strive with every ounce of strength and ability that we can garner from thee to be one of the 144,000, one of the bride of Christ, and thus hasten the coming of our Lord and Savior to take us off of this earth and end this great controversy. Help us to truly become established in the present truth. And thank you so much for your help, for your love, for your compassion, for your long-suffering towards each one of us. Thank you so much for being our Father. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. I have a scripture song to sing. This is 2 Corinthians 13, verse 11. Be perfect, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 11. So God says to be perfect. God promises that we will never fall if we do these things. So, dear ones, let us go on unto perfection. Are there any thoughts or comments or questions or other songs, dear ones, that you'd like to sing before we close this evening? And amen. Amen. A comment in the room that says, keep looking up and fight discouragement with God's help. And that is very true. So, dear ones, are there any other thoughts or comments? Please feel free to bring them forth before we close. Well, I want to thank you for coming this evening. Thank you for choosing to fellowship with us on this midweek church service. I pray that God will go with each one, that you will continue to grow in grace, that you will continue to add these virtues into your life to become part of your character so that you can continue to strive to become one of the 144,000 and become established in the present truth. So may God bless, dear ones, and I'll leave you with this last scripture song. Ephesians chapter 6. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 11 and 12. So God bless, dear ones. Our love and prayers are with you, and thank you for your love and prayers for me and mine as well.